from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
That's right. It's Fresh Fridays on Friday. It's the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Friday to all of you. I see the sunshine peeking through the clouds.
The weekend is here. It's here. The weekend is here. I've been waiting for the weekend since Monday.
Not that we're not having fun with all of you.
It's shining on this golden hour coming up. We got a packed fun house coming up the next 60 minutes.
Yes, we're going to do.
Do we?
Well, we're going to have scenarios, which some people were saying, why'd you bump it? So we're going to do that coming up after Heather's newscast at 11:30.
There's some people that are going to be listening at 11:30 that's never really heard scenarios. And I can tell you right now, this scenario.
Oh.
It's a tough one.
Okay, if you don't want to hear the tough one, if you have a scenario that you want us to help you solve right now, heading into the weekend, text us, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. If you have a scenario and we don't want to hear one that's going to get us in a bad mood before the weekend, send it to us right now.
By the way, if your scenario will make Ursula uncomfortable, there's a 1,000% chance G will read it on air.
1,000%. Let's get to it. Agree to disagree, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
So, how many folks are actually back in the office? 1 year ago, traffic levels flowing in and out of downtown Seattle were at 41% of the pre-pandemic normal. Today, according to new data from traffic analytics firm INRIX, we are at 70%, which sounds pretty good. But we were pretty close to 70% last August, which means there might not actually be that many people heading back into the office. Now, there's been a lot of hand-wringing about bringing back people back to Seattle and back to major downtowns. Mayor Bruce Harrell has called it vital to Seattle's recovery from the pandemic. President Biden has made similar comments. Gee, my question, though, is should we actually be just rooting for people to come back into the office? This is what must happen. What do you think?
No, we should not. You should do what's best for you. If you have a job that does not require you to be at work, then I celebrate the fact that you have an opportunity to work from home. For some reason, there is this, wouldn't you believe, shocker of a, these folks need to get back to work. Why? Because they just do. If someone wants to work from home and they can actually work from home, let them do it. We saw that it can be done during the pandemic. For nearly 2 years, folks were working from home. What's happening is people are leaving jobs today. They're like, okay, so this is my pay. And I can get paid $5,000 less a year if I go to this company, which, by the way, is not happening. The majority of the people that I know that are leaving, they're actually going to leave to make more money. Oh, I can make more money, and oh, I can work from home. Duh, no brainer. One last point I want to make. Me, I don't want to work from home. That's just me. I want to get out and about. I feel like I need to make things happen. But I don't need to take the way that I view life and put that on others.
So I'm glad you bring that up. And I agree with you to some point, but I think you've had a change of heart because we've talked about this throughout the pandemic. And as we've been coming out of the pandemic, and you have seen, I think, maybe the pros and cons of each one. And you've said many, many times, definitely you being in here makes the show different, and you said you enjoy it as well.
Based on your job.
Yes. Okay, exactly. And I think that's the point, based on your job. So what about people who are reluctant to come back to work? Their bosses want them to come back to work. Their jobs are better done when they are at work, but they still want to work from home because, hey, they liked it.
They're basically telling their boss, you can't do nothing without me. I can do what I want.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what that's like. I'm a black man in America. I ain't trying it. I'm personally not trying it. You know what I mean? And by the way, I'm not one of those that goes into the boss and says, but look at them. They're doing it. I learn better than that. Just because Johnny do it don't mean you can do it. I'm coming to work.
Okay. I am an American with Asian American background.
Uh-huh.
who's been here for over 30 years,
yeah.
and I still don't assume that I can just pull that.
You smart. Like, hey. You smart.
Okay. So that's the one thing.
Yeah.
I want to point out that in March, I believe it was, or April, there was a report that said about 35% of the city of Seattle employees are still working remotely. Mayor Harrell's office has said, we've made safety improvements in all the buildings. We've installed these protective barriers. There are people who need to deal with the public. We want you back. Yet still so many people are saying, nah, I kind of like working at home, whether it's a city employee or a county employee. I'm sorry. At some point, you're going to have to say either you're going to work here in the building, where especially if you have a job that deals with the public and you can show that you not being in here in the public and your lack of interactions with the public is actually impacting whether it's permitting, whether it's, you know, whatever it is slowing things down. I'm sorry. You get your buns back into the building. Okay. So that's the one thing.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to pick. There are certain city and county jobs.
But what if you could do your job at home?
And if you can do it with zero impact, I say more power to you if it truly is zero impact. But if to this day you are still working 2 or 3 days a week, getting paid full time, using, hey, I like working remote and I'm worried about COVID or whatever, don't be surprised if not too long from now you are going to be without a job.
But what if they're not? What if I told you, what if there's this feeling deep down in my soul that there are a lot of people in government that are getting paid a whole lot of money to work very little? What if I told you that that's a feeling that I have, an opinion that I have?
Well, I think that's where you're going to find that there are going to be different government agencies that are going to look and go, well, since for the last 2 years, what we've been able to do without these people or them working 60% or 50%, let's make some cuts. And so far that hasn't happened, and they've used the COVID emergency. And I'm going to point out to what is going on in courthouses all across the state. Mm-hmm. That's happening. Courts are not running full bore. I mean, they're in the civil side of
Why aren't
things.
They?
They're trying to.
Why aren't they?
Because of COVID emergency.
Mm-hmm.
The jail's not at full capacity in King County because of COVID emergency. Because people aren't working and coming back into the buildings, there are restaurants and small businesses that are shutting down in downtown Seattle and in cities across the country. And by the way, look at other I'm sorry. I'm just really going on this.
Why is this bringing so much emotion out of you? Because I do know the backbone of our country, you know, the ones that folks call low-skill workers.
I know
they work all the time.
Yes.
But it's weird, right? Because, let me scratch my head. The people, the backbone of our country, the people doing all the work, make the least amount of money. Huh. Weird.
Ursula, can I address something you brought up? Because this is the main thrust of my argument that I take issue with. When a mayor says, or when someone says, oh, we have to get people back downtown. This is vital to our downtown. The businesses there can't survive. The downtown is the economic engine of our city. I don't care. I really do not care. Why is the onus on me as a worker to come back downtown to support the economic recovery of businesses that I don't need? If I can work
not,
at
I'm
home.
Not, I'm not asking you to come
oh,
back.
Oh, I know. I'm using me.
I'm talking about someone who works in the city of Seattle or works in King County.
Okay. So let's just take, go ahead and use me as an example. Okay. Let's say that I could do my job as well as I can in studio. That is exactly what a lot of people have the opportunity to do at home. Now, why would it be incumbent on me to spend my gas money to waste 2 hours of my day driving into the city because I'm supposed to be worried about a small business downtown? If you want that small business to survive post-pandemic, I'm sorry. We live in a different world now. Things will change permanently.
Yes,
and you know what? There are businesses that will win and there are businesses that will lose. For the business that does not do well in downtown Seattle, there's going to be one in Mill Creek that pops up, another in Lakewood, another in Thurston County, because people are still going out. They're just not going downtown.
Okay, so let's take away the downtown part.
Yes.
Just the idea of you think, well, and again, I hate sweeping statements.
Yes.
So you know that I'm not talking about everybody. There are truly people who are working harder working remotely, and
yes,
there are truly people who are working and can get the job done and do it remotely. And if you are that person, you should continue to do it remotely. But there are people right now who are continuing to work either part-time or remotely. Their bosses are telling them that they want you to come in. For example, I am trying to get a remodel done. There's the backlog is even longer.
Yes.
So there are things that there are real impacts about not having full operations because of pandemic conditions. Well, guess what? You can't keep using that as an excuse if you're having an impact on the economy.
I 1,000% agree with you. If you have a public facing job, then yes, you should come back. If there are people that can't get permits for their house, you need to be redoing, like starting up all those inspections again. However, this idea that people are getting one over on society because they're not working as hard from home, that is not a remote work problem. That is a boss problem. That is an accountability problem. If your organization is struggling with getting people to do their jobs and their functions while working from home, that's your problem, manager. That's
exactly.
Not society's problem.
Exactly.
And we certainly shouldn't be excoriating people for working from home and telling them to spend more money and more of their time to go back to the office because their boss is lame.
Exactly. And let's be clear. I'm not excoriating anyone who's working from home.
Not putting those words in your mouth.
Yes,
so, yeah.
Exactly. I want to make it clear that that's not what I'm doing. But I'm saying that, yeah, bosses need to have a backbone and they need to look and say, you know what? If this is, you know, we're able to accomplish this and only have 60% working, you know, working time or whatever, we need to cut fat then.
Absolutely.
Here's the beauty. If they're not going downtown to go to work, to go to eat, and then they are forced to eat in their neighborhood, is that a bad thing? Is that
a great thing?
Is that a bad thing? I used to eat lunch downtown when I went to work. Now I eat in my neighborhood. This discussions we are having, we're just in different times. That's all. We're in different times. And again, I'll speak for myself. I'm a people person. I make my living in this world because of people. I am not smart enough or good enough to stay home and make a lot of money. Shout out to all of you that is able to not leave your house, steal in your drawers and socks, and make $200,000 a year. I want to say hats off to you. That's impressive.
And if you could do that in your pajamas and only work three hours a day and still pull in that, great.
And get a load of laundry done, cook some breakfast, some sausage, some eggs, and you still able to make money? I can't hate on you.
Exactly.
But for me, I got to get out and about. I got to do DoorDash. I got to do auctions. Shout out to Stadium High School. I'll be at auctioneering. Your auction tonight.
Yeah. My issue is those who expect to still be paid for full-time work are truly working part-time, and the reluctance to come back to the office is having an impact, but still taking advantage of COVID restrictions. That's the issue that I have.
Does it bother you?
Yeah, actually.
See, one thing about being in radio, I like being able to feel your energy.
Yes.
And
yes.
So we're talking about this. And that's why I had to ask.
Yes.
Is this bothering you?
Here's one thought.
Okay.
The court operations, for example, they're not at full speed. Mm-hmm. I mean, so if it bothers you that crime's up right now, King County Jail is not full.
Mm-hmm.
King County Jail is still working with COVID restrictions. If it bothers you that crime is up, there are still things in place in the courtrooms where the courtroom operations are not at full speed.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I mean, there is an impact in some of these situations where people are still taking advantage of these restrictions are reluctant. Now, again, I mean, what's awesome about the pandemic is it also opened up the possibilities of working from home and maybe actually even being more productive.
Can I just tell you why it doesn't bother me? Because I'm used to it. Meaning, I've always, and look, I don't mean to be disrespectful to those working in city and or county government. And I want you to know, I mean this, no disrespect, but I've known folks that have worked in these arenas. Not many of y'all work hard. Send your hate mail to me all you want to, but it's just the truth. And it is hard to lose your job when you work for city and or county government. So the reason why I'm not bothered is because I've always been used to this, and I've always been used to those that make a lot of money at the top not making or not working as hard as those in the bottom. I like to talk about the folks that are working hard in this world, the backbone of our country. I'm looking forward to the day that their salaries can increase. Because you know that trickle-down economics that everybody talk about? What if I told you it don't work? There's some folks mad at me right now. But
there are people mad at me.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, Mike Washington just texted, yes, I am. I will be the auctioneer for Stadium High School tonight. That's right.
Nice. Hey,
I'm looking forward to Stadium High School. Mike Washington said, is that Stadium High School? Yeah. I'll be down there in Tacoma. Hey, coming up next, we'll do scenarios. It's Gene Ursula. It is Fresh Fridays on the G and Ursula Show. Now, I know that there's some folks listening right now at 11:30, and maybe you're not used to hearing scenarios. This is something that we usually do at 10:45, but right now we're going to do it here. So don't be mad. Just sit back, relax, and try to judge somebody else's life.
I think some people are happy, actually. And we're heading into a Friday. We want to lighten it up for you.
My stepson's father was not involved in his life at all, but he said he had a college fund. My wife, his real mom, and I continued and counted on that and didn't put anything away since he said his father was paying for college. That made perfect sense to me because I have a daughter from another marriage and I have put away all of her college money to the side for her education. Now, even though she lives with her new mom and her new husband. Now, my stepson's biological dad is now remarried and they're expecting a child. We just found out that his dad changed his mind and is keeping my stepson's college fund for his new baby. When my stepson found out, he talked to his mom. My wife and they have asked me to give my stepson half of my daughter's college fund. I've refused because some of the money was a gift from my parents and the rest I really worked hard for. And my daughter shouldn't have to pay for this problem that just occurred. Now they're angry, but have come up with another solution. They asked me to sell my daughter's collection of rings she inherited from her grandparents. One of them was given by her mother for when she gets married. It will crush my daughter's soul to do that. My stepson and wife are saying that it's favoritism if I don't help out with his college expenses. What should I do here? 888-973-CHIRO is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up to bat first.
That sounds like a mess. And first of all, shame on the biological dad who changed his mind. I also, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I wouldn't have assumed unless that was in place and written. I'm surprised that you can make a switch like that. Because he's still the biological dad. So I'm guessing that there could be some kind of legal action involving the biological dad saying, wait a minute, this is your child and this is money that you set aside. But the other complication is the stepdad is making it sound like the stepson is not his son. And he's making a real distinction between my biological daughter and my stepson. Which I know I've never had to deal with that, but I've heard how that can be so problematic and so hurtful. So first things first is I would try to go back to the biological father and say, look, you promised this and this is money that we were counting on. This is your son. You still have responsibilities. This is your son, even though you've moved on to another family.
Mm-hmm.
So you do still have some obligations. I mean, some attorneys may say, you know, yeah, you can't go for that. But because they'd established it so long ago. And then again, the mom and son can't force the daughter to sell her rings. I think that needs to be just taken out of the equation.
Right.
That shouldn't even be brought up. But
so are you saying, stepdaddy, are you saying that he needs to come through on his son, stepson's tuition?
Well, they're married. That is his stepson. And I think that he should try to help find some kind of solution. But
should he
take
from his daughter's fund?
Not if it's going to, you know, it depends. There's too many variables that I don't know, like how much money we're talking about.
Yeah,
but again, I would try to keep the courts out of it if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Can't force someone to sell, you know, these heirlooms that mean something to do that. You'll never get the kind of money that you need. But again, I think they're going to need some financial counseling and marital counseling. That's too complex.
Chef, what you got, bro?
First of all, shame on dad. But you can't fix dad. He's not in your control. What is in your control are your child's expectations. And it sounds like they need to be adjusted. I think there is a solution to this. If you were planning on going to Ivy League school, both kids are going to a state school now. If you are planning on going to a state school now, you need to spend the first 2 years going to community college. If going to a state school was an option and they're not yet in high school, they need to be in running start. And you're going to need to have an honest conversation with your kids about, look, these are the expectations that we had. This is what is possible right now with the money that we have available. Here are three pathways for you, right? You know, I can still pay for all your college. I can't help with your brothers. I can help your brother, and we're going to need to make up that money from somewhere. You can sell your rings, or you can own your own financial future and realize that financial devastation or unforeseen circumstances happen to all kinds of families, and no matter what, you can't just always count on money being there. That is life. How are you going to respond? Are you willing to work harder for your college? Are you willing to go to a running start in high school? Are you willing to take the AP classes and take the test to get some credit? You need to work on your daughter's expectations.
And it's the son trying to go and the daughter.
Sorry.
Both kids. I mean, I think both. It's best to have both kids invested and have like a skin in the game for sure.
Mm.
But I think they all need to collectively come up with some kind of solution.
I want to go to what you started off with, Ursula, because I believe that you knocked it out of the park with one thing that really stands out in this. So this is the stepdad. And obviously the real dad has a new woman that he married, has a new baby. So basically he's saying, hey, I don't have the money for that college like I said. And so now you're the stepdad. The thing is when you became stepdad, when you married mom, you married everybody, right? There is not this. Matter of fact, I thought they quit calling it step. I thought it's bonus now. You know what I'm saying? It's bonus mama, bonus dad. But anyways. So when you as a stepdad, a bonus dad, whatever you want to call yourself, when you got married and then now your son, take away the stepson, your son is in a situation where, oh, he's not going to have any financial help. And so now they're asking you if you can kind of give half. When you say, no, that's not fair because I already have this set aside for my daughter. Let me tell you something. You basically just told them that you're only married. And by the way, you don't want marriage advice from me. You're only married to your wife, and it does not involve
the son. Exactly. And your finances are your finances, and her finances are her finances.
So,
I mean, there are some people. I just got a text message from Nick who said there is a difference and distinction between step and blood. And again, I don't know. I've never experienced that. I haven't had to do that. But I thought that there was really just this push to try to not make that such a distinction. I guess, and it obviously depends on the situation.
I think it depends on age. I think that the younger you are in these situations, the more it is. Well, this is my daughter, and that's your son. And I think when you get older, right, you're a little bit more wiser to this topic. All right. Let's hear what our main man Nick has to say about this.
This is an ice cold move, I gotta say. I think in this situation, you either gotta give money to both the kids or none at all. I mean, it's just so mean. You're so vain. I'll tell you what, there's going to be some infighting in the family if this goes down.
Oh, I think there is already.
Oh yeah. I'm telling you.
And I'm not convinced that mom doesn't have a legal claim, you know. Well, the dad, baby daddy needs to step, I mean, I'm sorry, there's too many people, you know. So the biological dad has some obligation here.
Hey, stepdaddy, trust your boy. Trust me when I tell you, help out your stepson. It just will make for a better marriage.
I mean, I didn't hear any really like good reason why he would refrain from it. So it's like, come on, man.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, your text messages, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. It's Jen Ursula. Happy Fresh Fridays. Just got a message from Chef during the break, and he said, I can't keep up with the text anymore. It's a lot of text, Ursula.
Which is a great sign, and we love it that when you text us. And just know that even if we don't read your text message at the end of the show, we are reading it, which is why sometimes you'll get a random, you know, 2 p.m. text message back.
Wait a minute. Monday?
sometimes at night.
Yeah. Monday, we going to be cool in that smooth transition with the text line?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Nothing changes for everybody.
Mention something about the text messages?
Yeah.
Not only are there a lot more people that text in, a lot of you have amazing things to say. You're 100%. All very smart. I can't recall the last time we even got one that was negative.
Or
it was
said,
like, it's been like a week.
Yeah.
It used to be like dozens a day. People are so incredible.
Yes.
We love you guys.
Yes, for sure.
That is true.
Yes.
Matter of fact, you're right. I don't think I gave a bless your heart out this week. Did you get a bless your heart from me? And have you ever got a bless your heart from me?
They're becoming fewer and further between.
Yeah. Even the bless your heart folks stay here. All right, let's get to the text.
Okay, well, when we started off the show, this is the text that came in. 253 says, when the boss says, you can't do that, G says, hold my beer.
G and Ursula told parents to turn off the...
Let's not do it.
I ain't doing it.
Let's not do it.
Nope.
No.
Supreme Court of Washington rules unanimously in marijuana DUI case. 360 says, I will take a blood test for you and prove that I'll still fail even if I haven't smoked for 24 hours.
425 says, if you don't have an accurate test, you have no right to test anyone.
Miss Jan says, it can take 30 days for pot weed to leave your system, especially if you're chubby. I never smoke and drive, but I'd sure be above 5 nanos if I got tested. Miss Jan, you smoking?
I tell you what. We got so many. I think I woke up a lot of people. But again, if you missed that segment, go back because I dug into it and looked. And there is a real problem, especially with people who mix marijuana, other drugs too, and alcohol and are driving. And there's numerous studies that prove that it is an issue. But we hear you when you say the THC can stay in your system for a long time. Okay, Seattle Seahawks are going to be hosting Russell Wilson and the Broncos for Monday Night Football on the first game of the season. 206 says, I'm not going to boo Russell, but I'll sure be cheering if he gets sacked or throws an interception.
I just hope it's not at the 1 yard line. 206 says, I don't care who wins the game. I just want to... Did you just read it? Okay. I just want... Everybody's saying the same thing. I just want to blitz the quarterback every play. This is the time to start a new Legion of Boom.
People don't want to boo him, but they sure want to see him get blasted.
Yeah, they do.
Yes. They want to boo him. They want to boom him.
Yes, and I'm sure he wants to beat the Seattle Seahawks, too. So there. Okay, should we be rooting for people to head back to the office? Mello from Anchorage says, if I were a texter without my name and location, I'd admit that my job is... Oops. Much easier working from home, and I probably get a little less done, but my dishes are always clean.
253 says, my wife is very high up in state government. She works hard and a lot. And she makes sure those under her that are remote are working hard as well.
And my point would be, that's awesome. And I hope that other people follow suit. And again, I am not trying to say that people who work in government aren't working hard.
Can you get one property taxes and then we're out of here?
Okay. Let's do Friday the 13th.
Okay.
425 says, as a kid, I heard step on a crack, break your mama's back. I'm 52 now, and I still try to avoid those cracks, as well as lines to not break my father's spine. True story.
All right, let's get to Words to Live By.
And I love this.
Brought to you by Wilcox Farms. Sorry.
And I don't know who to give credit to, but always remember to be kind, be fair, be honest, be true. And you know what? All these things will come back to you.
Hey, I know Chef really wants to give his thin opinion on this one.
Wait, did you say thin opinion?
I'm not only the hair club president, but I'm also a client.
Because the media was, short opinion, because we don't have that much time.
Oh,
stop
okay.
it. Stop it.
I was 2 years old when I heard short opinion.
Hey, Nick. What do you got?
Oh, you want to come to me right now?
Okay. No, real quick. Next week, we're going to be talking about the cleanup for next week, right?
Oh, we are. So just remember, the 21st, it's on. And we're going to be meeting after we meet downtown.
Yes.
That's the new location.
And Layla, we're coming to see you.
Yeah, we're going to come to see you. And we've got some goodies to give those who are showing up. And we're going to have more details next week.
Okay. So okay? we're going to be talking
but it's
about...
happening.
We clean up. Clean up.
Yes, we get
everybody
to clean up.
Clean up. I can't wait to meet some of you guys in person.
Yes.
It'll be great.
So it'll be really cool. Just a reminder that the Dory Monson Show is coming up next. I hope you all have a great weekend.
Nick, what do you got for us?
Call me Captain Obvious when I say I'm concerned too about property taxes like all of you, let alone having a goal of becoming a homeowner in the future, being a Gen Zer and all that. And I figured on a Friday the 13th, we need a little more luck to turn on our side with these taxes. So let's avoid the cracks on the ground, walk around, not around and not under the ladders, I should say. Steer clear from the black cats, and what else should we do, Eddie?
I better knock on wood.
Man, I can't find any wood to knock me in back in the office. It's all metal and plastic in here.
Oh, thanks, Ursula.
Thank you.
Chef, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for cooking up a good show. Nick, as always, appreciate all you do. Hey, listeners, have a great weekend. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that, and be good.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.